We don't hear much about hell from our modern pulpits today, do we? Today we continue our discussion of this subject. What does the Bible teach about hell? Perhaps our modern preachers have concluded, just don't think about hell and it will go away. But that is a fatal delusion. Many people ask the question, what kind of a place is hell? Well, the Word of God clearly reveals that one of the features of hell is the torment of eternal association with the wicked of all the ages. Hell is the place where a lost soul must make his abode with the vilest ones who've ever lived on earth. Do you want to spend eternity with the devil and all of his angels? The Apostle John declared, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where also are the beast and the false prophet. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Revelation 20, verse 10. Yes, Satan will be a companion of the inhabitants of hell. Satan will not be a boss issuing orders to pour on the coal, so to speak. Instead, he will be one of those suffering day and night in the torments of hell forever and ever. Today, he is the world's greatest promoter of worldly pleasure and fleshly gratification. But in hell, you can be sure there will not be such pleasures. Furthermore, we can observe from this passage that Satan is not yet in hell, but when he goes there, it will be a one-way ticket. Hell is not Satan's office of operations from which he runs back and forth to trouble the inhabitants of the earth, as some have imagined. No, when Satan goes to hell, and if you and I should go there, it will be forever and forever in the torment of the lake of fire and brimstone, the Bible says. The fallen angels will also be companions of the lost. The Apostle Peter warned, "God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Do you really want to spend eternity with Satan and all the fallen angels? The vilest of the vile will be the companions of those who are lost in hell. Revelation 21, 8 reveals, "But for the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The book of Revelation in chapter 22, after a glorious description of heaven, again declares, "Without are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie." Verse 15. Yes, if we are lost in hell, we must rub shoulders with the most wicked and the cruelest of all that have ever lived, the lustful and abominable. All of the unsaved must wallow in eternity's garbage pile forever in hell. My friends, Jesus once told the unsaved religious leaders of his time, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves cast forth without." Luke 13, verse 28. To the Jews, eternity would be that wonderful age when they could be with the fathers of their nation. How they longed to be with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Daniel and David and all the great prophets of the Old Testament. Jesus was telling these Jews what weeping and wailing there would be when they discovered that they could not be with those they revered most of all. I have seen the wailing and literally weeping of the people at the old walls of the part of that ancient temple of Jerusalem. But such weeping and wailing is incomparable to the agonizing wailing at the wall of the great gulf that separates the saved from the unsaved in eternity. So many of us today think of heaven in terms of reunion with someone we love who has gone on before, such as a Christian mother, a godly father, a husband or wife, or perhaps a baby who was snatched away in infancy. We think of heaven in terms of a place of fellowship with the Savior who died for us on the cross. We long to see and to talk with them. But what a horrible torment it will be for us to be eternally separated from those whom we love that might be in heaven. But wait, that isn't all. If you should die apart from Christ, you will experience separation from all of the unsaved. You will not be able to enjoy the fellowship and companionship with those whom you have known in this life as Christian. If you're lost in hell and all of your loved ones and friends are there, you will have no loving companionship or sweet fellowship. Hell is no place for such, but is a place of outer darkness with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There will be no good times, no parties in hell. It will be a place of eternal sorrow toward our loved ones, both saved and lost. There will be no time for joy and laughter. One cannot rejoice in pain and anguish and sorrow with weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth on every side he may turn. Some people have seemed to say that they do not care. If their loved ones go to hell, that's where they want to go. But my friends, remember, the rich man of Luke 16, when he found himself in the place of torment, he immediately wanted to send back word to his brethren and warn them lest they come to that same place of eternal damnation. I tell you, my friends, somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody's husband, someone's wife, some sons and daughters are lost and now in Hades and will spend eternity in the Gehenna hell, the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. If any one of the millions now in Tartarus of Hades could send a message back to their loved ones, surely it would be, repent. Please repent and do not come to this terrible place of torment. Another frightening aspect of the nature of hell is the eternal darkness that characterizes it. In the Epistle of Jude, verse 13, it is said, "For whom the blackness of the darkness hath been reserved forever." And remember, we're warned about it. Reserved in the pits of darkness under the day of judgment in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The teaching of Jesus about hell strongly emphasizes the aspect of eternal darkness. In Matthew 25 and 30, in reference to the wicked and slothful servant, Jesus said, "And cast ye out into the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth." What a terrible thing it is to be lost in the eternity of hell, chained in the pits of darkness. Can you even begin to imagine being in such a place? A place where the golden rays of the sun never pierce, where the glory of the stars and the glow of the moon are never seen. Can you imagine a place where the day never comes and night lasts forever? If you can realize and visualize the eternal blackness of the darkness of such a place, surely that would be torment of hell. Beloved, hear me. Are you listening? Hell is an eternal night for every sinner who leaves this world without Christ. Do you want to go to a land where the sun never rises and where the moon and the stars never come out to break the utter darkness of the eternal night? Have you ever been in a place of total darkness, as nearly as man can make total darkness? For example, have you ever been down in the caverns like Carlsbad, New Mexico, when all the lights were turned out and you stand in total darkness? Does not the blackness of the night, total darkness, which seems so thick that you could slice it with a knife, cause some fear and apprehension to fall upon you? Do you not remember as a child being afraid of the darkness and the blackness of the night, when perhaps you cried for your mother just to hold your hand? Have you not heard the sound and the blackness and the darkness of the night that made you afraid, almost afraid to move or breathe? When you had your heart trouble, when your heartbeat seemed to be so fast that it would race right out of its place and lodge in your throat. Can you imagine being in a place of total darkness, the blackness of the night of which you have never seen, with piercing, frightening, alarming, distressing sounds you've never heard before? Sounds of anguish, sounds of massive, roaring, blazing fire of thousands upon thousands of acres of burning forest. Sounds of wailing and gnashing of teeth, cries of pain, as if thousands of human beings were being cut to pieces with a very sharp instrument, but no one could die. And the Bible says, "The worm dieth not," and be relieved of his pain and anguish. Can you imagine being totally enclosed in the darkness and the blackness of the chambers of hell, being a part of, and listening to the unrelenting cries of torment? Well, there are no days for relief. But for month after month and year after year and millennium after millennium, where time knows no end, nor fades memory or consciousness, but where there is one eternal night of darkness, despair, and hopelessness. That, my friends, is not a nightmare, a bad dream, nor fiction. That is just a little part of hell. Hell is real, and thousands upon thousands of people are on their way to hell this very moment. And you can be sure there are no exits from hell. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is eternal hopelessness and despair. The inhabitants of hell are doomed forever. There is no hope for escape. There is no hope for even temporary relief. Hell, then, is a place of hopelessness and despair without any alleviation. There is no exit. All who enter hell do so by one-way ticket. The Apostle John declared, "And the smoke of their torment goeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night." Revelation 14:11. And Christ affirmed in Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Yes, punishment in hell and life in heaven are both eternal. One is everlasting, as is the other. Remember the Israelites in Egyptian bondage? They had hoped that someday their slavery would end, and it did through Moses. When a man is sick, he may cling to the hope of having his health restored, and often it is. When business is bad, we can look forward to time of improvement. Even the inmate of the prison's death row can live in hope, believing that the last minute reprieve may come. But in hell, there is no hope, no reprieve. There are no exits from hell. Whoever goes there must remain forever and ever. That is nothing to look forward to but everlasting torment, darkness, hopelessness, and despair. My friends, has it occurred to you that as I have discussed this 6 or 7 horrors of hell, we have not yet discussed one most familiar to many people? If you should take a poll, I think that 99% of the people would say, "Well, is hell real? Is it a hell fire?" Although we have been talking about fire and brimstone in some of the passages that we have discussed, the emphasis is on punishment. Why? Because so many have such a shallow knowledge concerning the nature of hell and hardly think of anything more than the lake of fire and brimstone. There is so much more to hell than just fire. Actually, the arguments over whether the term fire is literal or figurative have only served to take the attention of so many people away from the staggering facts of the horrors of hell. Whether the fire in hell is literal fire, as we know fire, and obviously it is not because the fire we know will go out, or is symbolic of the wrath of God in all of its aspects. The plain truth is that if hell is only half as bad as the Bible's description, it will be infinitely horrible. In fact, there is no comfort to be gained by taking one approach over the other. If one seeks to avoid a literal fire by saying it is a figure of speech, a metaphor, one is only opening himself to a far worse fate. The reality is always greater impact than the real picture. For example, we read in Revelation that there are streets of gold and gates of pearl in heaven. Should we accept that literally? Or should we understand that this is a spirit's way of revealing heaven to be more glorious than anything we've ever seen or thought about? Surely, the second alternative is more logical. The Bible's description of both heaven and hell is God's effort to convey to the finite minds of men that there is eternity of torment or eternity of happiness. As for hell, a lake of fire and brimstone would convey the worst possible torment that human experience could imagine. Surely, hell is 100 times worse than the mere words can describe. Just as heaven is far more fabulous than the Bible can depict in words for our understanding. Modern man has declared, hell is too ugly and horrible. Hell is too unjust. Surely there is no such place. Hell is the extreme of one side, just as heaven is the opposite. If hell is too ugly and horrible, then heaven is too beautiful and glorious. Yes, eternal torment is a horrible thought, but it can only be and must be the very opposite of eternal joy. It may be observed that some skeptics have suggested that the punishment of the wicked will not be eternal because it would be unjust to punish one eternally for having committed sin for a very short time compared to eternity. In other words, a short time of sinning against God would not warrant eternal punishment. Such an argument, however, reflects the weakness of the mind of the originator and challenges the divinity of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Not even the civil courts of our land recognize such weak pleas. The time involved in transgression in any court, divine or human, has nothing to do with the determining of the duration of the punishment. What attorney could be found who would argue that a murderer must be limited in his punishment because he committed the crime in but a few moments of time? If a man is tried in our courts for murder, the attorneys do not dwell upon the time element. Rather, they speak of the violation of the law, the willful deliberation and premeditation of the murder, the tragic results and consequences. The judge and the jury consider the matters when passing the sentence upon the guilty. The time involved will not determine the duration of punishment. So it will be with God in eternity and the judgment day. Eternal punishment will last just as long as eternal life, as our Lord declared in Matthew 25 and 46. He said, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." In verse 41 he declared, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels." And again in Revelation 21 and 8, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." On the other hand, everlasting life awaits the redeemed of Jehovah as promised by our Lord. The Lord spoke of the broad highway filled with the multitudes of people on their way to destruction. They're on their way today from every walk of life. The question that should be of concern to us is not the temperature of hell. God will take care of that. But the question is, which way are we going? What will be our destiny? Let Jesus come into your heart. Obey his gospel commands that it may be well with your soul. Let the words of the Christ ring in your ears and in your heart this very moment when the Lord said, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it." Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The way to heaven is God's ordered way, straight and narrow, a pilgrimage which ends with eternal life with God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the redeemed of all the ages. The way to hell is Satan's broad way, always crowded, but room for you too if you really want to go there. Do you really want to go to hell?